Serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, preparing you for the 75th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor with a man whose battleship was sunk that day and who, incredibly, lost his second ship, a destroyer, exactly 3 years later. In a bit, we're going to hear about 96-year-old David Russ Russell's free trip to the National World War II Memorial through the Honor Flight Network. His 20-year Navy career also included quite a bit of action in the Korean War and a chance to watch the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II through a porthole on his cruiser. But let's go back to December 7th, 1944, aboard that destroyer, the USS Mahan.
Well, we were making a landing on Ormoc, and of course we did our shelling, and then they sent us 26 miles north between Cebu and Leyte in case the Japanese ships came through. We could pick them up first, and that's when those 10 bombers came in just above the horizon.
Were you up topside?
Yeah, I was topside there. And then I had number three gun then. I was gun captain number three gun. And I could see them coming in. One of them hit forward in the ammunition handling room. And then one came at us, and it exploded right in front of us. It just threw debris all over us. Pretty soon, here come another one in, and trying to wipe us out. And I could see that pilot trying to get that plane down. I saw him. He was going down, and I just glanced, and I saw him churning up the water. I don't know if he went down or what happened to him.
This is very unusual. A destroyer is not usually going to be targeted by a whole bunch of kamikazes. Usually they're going for a bigger target, right?
Like aircraft carriers.
Yeah. So what do you think made you guys so special? You were just in the wrong place at the wrong time?
No, that's it.
And maybe you don't have time to think about it while you're on a gun crew and stuff's exploding around
you're
you.
You're so busy. You're so busy. Thank God we were so well trained. You may not like that training we went through, but boy, oh boy, it pays off.
Saved your life?
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. After those kamikazes hit us, the old man announced abandoned ship. We had the abandoned ship because so much, you know, everything was exploding, and that gasoline from those planes were burning. And one of them hit right there where the torpedo tubes are and knocked our stacks, knocked our masts and our stacks over, and we had two stacks at that time. And the torpedo tubes are right there, and that fire was right there. And that's probably the old man said, we better get out of here before they explode. Thank God those torpedo tubes did not explode.
You wouldn't be here.
None of us would be here, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get into the water. You told us before you got one of the wounded guys onto that stage, which turned into a raft for him, basically, kept him afloat. And there were three of you total that were together in the water?
Yeah, three plus the wounded man.
How long were you in the water?
People ask me that. It seemed like we were in there an awful long time. I don't know. I can't tell you how long I was in that water. But I said something about 4 hours. Some guys, no, I don't think so, but you know.
Did you have a Mae West or a tube around your waist? Or
just
you
a life jacket.
And what time of day was this?
It was a very sunny day, a very nice day.
So at least you could see, but I don't know if you liked everything you saw. You saw land, but that's Japanese held, so you don't want to go there, right?
No way. I thought the Japanese were going to pick us up, what I thought.
Yeah. It just strikes me that that's got to be a really helpless feeling.
Well, when you're sea like that, it is a helpless feeling. Are we going to survive? That's, you know, you're talking about death. That is something different than aboard ship where you're fighting these guys. I don't know what it is, but...
So the four of you are floating for hours, and you don't know who's going to pick you up or if anybody's going to pick you up.
Right.
Were there any other hazards or concerns? Worried about sharks or anything like that?
I thought about sharks. Thank God I didn't see any sharks. In that warm water, you know, there are a lot of sharks.
And were you guys talking to each other this whole time?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We stayed together.
What'd you talk about?
When we got off the ship, George Mower, he was living in Bothell, Washington. He says, you know what day this is? And I says, no. He says, this is December the 7th. And I says, oh, no.
You and that date had a little history.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that was wow.
So tell us how it happened that you finally did get picked up. How did that all unfold?
When this story picked us up, we were worn out. And I think it's, you know, it's the stress. But anyway, that ship got under, it was under attack all the time we were on that thing.
Yeah, so that's not exactly everything's over and great now and you're safe.
Oh, yeah.
When you were in the water, did you have a conscious thought of what's going to happen here and am I going to get out of this? What are my parents going to think?
Everything goes through your mind, everything, yeah. You wonder about your folks and you wonder about the other guys. And
so that must have been a pretty welcome sight when you saw that destroyer and you realized it was an American destroyer.
Very, yes. And they took a chance too, you know.
Yeah, because they're making themselves vulnerable to stop and pick you up.
That's right. Uh-huh.
How exhausted were you? Did they have to pull you aboard? Were you able to climb up on your own?
They had their cargo nets over the side. They helped us aboard, yes. We couldn't do anything but just watch.
Your bodies were so exhausted from all that.
You just want to rest, yeah.
I'm sure you've thought about that a lot over the years.
Oh, every time I go to the bathroom and then get back to bed again, everything goes through your mind about the olden days, yeah, especially World War II.
I'm trying to figure a few things out here, Russ, and I'm thinking, okay, you survive Pearl Harbor when your ship doesn't, and 429 guys go down with your ship. You go through these seven other invasions that you're supporting as a destroyer. Mm-hmm. Then that destroyer sinks. You survive floating in the water for hours and get picked up. And then you get to come home for a little survivor's leave. Did you really want to go back? What were you thinking? Why would you want, if this has almost killed you all these times, and you've dealt with so many other guys getting killed, why would you want to stay in the Navy after the war was over?
Well, people I talked to said, stay in. There's no jobs. You know, all the jobs had been taken. And so I thought, well, I'll just extend my enlistment for 2 years. Well, I had so much time in. I said, where else can I retire in 12 years, you know, or 14 or whatever it was, you know.
So you stayed in for 20 years.
So I stayed 20. Mm-hmm. I get paid for 21.
Have you been back to Pearl Harbor?
Yes, several times.
What do you do when you go there?
Oh, you just look, that's about all. I did go aboard the Arizona, and I got to talk to a few people, which, you know, sort of, they want to know what happened.
And you look out, and you can see the outline of some of that ship, and you can see those little drops of oil coming to the surface.
See it?
What do you think about when you look at that?
I still think about all the wasted lives. Even on both sides, you know, the Japanese and the Americans both. And why?
You look up at that white wall with all the names on it, and you recognize a lot of those names.
A few, just because some of those guys I went through training with.
Have you ever wondered what, I mean, here you are at 96. You've got 75 years of memories that they never got to make. Have you ever wondered about what they would have done with their lives?
Well, they would have had a family probably, yeah. They'd been a grandpa by now, a great-grandpa.
The 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. There aren't too many of you guys left that were there. What should the rest of us who weren't there, what do we need to know? What do we need to remember?
Keep America strong. Watching these demonstrations on TV sort of bothers me. They want to take our way of life away from us, as far as I'm concerned. It hurts, you know. We fought a war to protect us and be free.
And another spot that I'm sure was powerful for you, the National World War II Memorial. You took a trip here a couple of years ago with...
Oh, that was a beautiful trip. Thanks to that young lady, Leah, there. It was beautiful.
You went South Willamette Valley Honor Flight.
That's right.
That's a long trip.
It's a long trip, but we all sit around reminiscing about what we did. And we had more fun talking.
You heard some interesting stories from some of the other vets.
Most of European stories.
Uh-huh. What did they say when you told them your story?
They just, you know, yeah.
You ever get that reaction? Is this guy for real? Did this all really happen?
Sometimes I think they don't believe me. That's the way I feel, yeah.
Well, it is pretty hard to believe, isn't it?
Well, yeah, just like you say, it is hard to believe, yeah.
What'd you think of the World War II Memorial?
Oh, it was great. I love those states where they arrange that. Uh-huh.
You also saw part of that memorial, which is dedicated specifically to Pearl Harbor.
Yes, yeah.
You saw a portion of the president's speech?
Yes, And then all those stars up there repping, 100,000?
406,000 Americans who died in the war. That's what those stars represent.
Yeah, that was it, yeah.
What did you think about when you looked at those stars?
It's just like when we were out at the Arlington. Why? All of them, most of them were killed in wartime, yeah.
Yeah, and somehow you weren't. I mean, you could have been one of those tombs or one of those stars.
I could have, right.
So how do you explain that? Why do you think you survived December 7th, 41, December 7th, 44, and all those other times?
I don't know. And look, I'm still alive. And why? there's something out there doing something to us. I don't know what it is. And
do you think that? Do you think that somebody was protecting you?
There's something out there protecting us. You know, we had a lot of problems with our guns sometimes. They wouldn't work, or something wouldn't work aboard ship. And every time we went into action, that ship was perfect. Everything worked perfect. Now, why? Can you explain that one?
I think there's a lot of unexplainable when it comes to your story.
Yeah, everything's unexplainable when it comes. Yeah, right.
And I know we're bouncing around, but back to your honor flight experience. So you got to see all that back in D.C., the World War II Memorial, yeah. Other monuments.
The one I really loved was that Korean. You know, when you go into battle, there's something about the guy's eyes, the fright, I think it is. Am I going to be shot or wounded or what? Yeah, I've seen that quite a few during World War II.
That look in people's eyes?
That special look in their eyes, yeah.
Do you have that look in your eyes?
Probably. I think we all go through something like that. It's probably from fright. Like you say, are we going to survive this?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, after all, we're just survivors. That's all we are.
With a story to tell.
We got into Baltimore. Goodness, all the people. Congratulations. And a lot of military were there.
Uh-huh.
And then when we came back to Portland, wow. What a celebration that was. People congratulated us, shaking our hands. Of course, they did that back in Baltimore, too. But I've never had that happen to me before. I'm just a old GI, you know.
What did that do for you? How did that make you feel?
Oh, it's different. I don't know just quite how to explain it, but why are they doing that for me? You know, I'm just, like I said, I'm just nobody, but it sure make you feel good. Everybody wanting to shake our hand. You can't shake everybody's hands. All I did was just bow to them like the Japanese bowed to us, you know, after World War II.
Did that make you feel that maybe somebody understands what you guys did and still cares about it?
It's sort of hard to believe people really know what we went through. I don't think anybody knows what we went through. They have to experience it themselves.
Well, I guess the next best thing is listening to you tell them about it, tell them your story and some of the things that you went through.
Hopefully it sinks in. Mm-hmm.
I think so. But I don't think you should use the word sink. You and that word don't have a good history.
Anyway, I think hopefully they believe me.
Uh-huh.
That's a thing. You know, when you tell a story, do they believe me?
Well, I think everybody listening today believes you. And I want to echo what all those people at the Portland airport were trying to say to you when you got home from your honor flight. Thank you for serving our country.
That was it. That big thank you. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. That was a big thank you.
Well, I think we should hear from one of those people who put that big thank you together. Lee Bach is with South Willamette Valley Honor Flight here in Oregon. She's gotten to know Mr. Russell quite well over the last couple of years. And I've got to ask you, Lee, when you first heard Russ's story, could you believe it?
Blew my mind. I've heard a lot of great stories. I just recently went on my 8th Honor Flight trip, and so I've heard some really incredible stories and met some real heroes. And Russ is one of my all-time favorites. Just who he is, what he went through, his perspective just blows my mind.
It is really incredible to go through what he went through on December 7th and then have another ship from underneath him. And on that honor flight, you probably got to see a different side of him too. What really stood out about the kind of man that he is?
He is so humble. You know, again and again, he will argue with you if you call him a hero, but I will keep arguing with him on that. He feels like he didn't do anything special, that the guys that didn't make it home, that they're the real heroes. But like I said, I will keep arguing with him about how special he is and how much of a hero he is. What really drew me in about Russ, there's a couple things. For one, he reminds me very much of my grandfather, which served in the Army during World War II in Germany. So there was an instant connection for me to be drawn to him. And then he's just so happy and jovial and engaging, smart and funny. He's just this incredible person, and I just feel so honored to know him.
Is there one element of his story that is the most amazing to you, or just makes you shake your head and say, wow, how did that happen?
His Pearl Harbor story. My family's vacation spot when I was growing up was Hawaii. Very blessed to be able to do that. And I remember I was 14, and we went to Pearl Harbor, Arizona Memorial, and, you know, took all of that in. And that made a huge impact on me as a young teenager. I would have never imagined that I would meet someone and get to become friends and have this really special person in my life that was there on that day, that survived and went on to continue to fight for our country. I mean, this man showed up when the world needed him most, and I'm just blown away by him. Absolutely. He is an incredible human being. Oh. He's a survivor.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can question that, right?
Yeah.
And you mentioned being on 8 honor flights with South Willamette Valley Honor Flight here in Oregon. So you've interacted with a whole lot of veterans. What has that taught you?
There's probably not enough time to cover what it's taught me, but probably in a nutshell, I'm humbled by these men and women, by their selfless service again and again and again to protect our country, to protect the world, to protect our rights and freedoms. And they're everyday people that showed up and got the job done, didn't quit. And I just think that is a beautiful testimony to not just the greatest generation, because I've been on flights now with Korean War veterans, and we just recently took Vietnam veterans. These men and women show up and get the job done. No questions asked. No complaints. They show up and serve us all.
I don't think anybody could have said that better. Thank you, Lee Bach of South Willamette Valley Honor Flight. Wherever you're listening today, you can find an Honor Flight hub near you by going to honorflight.org. And I promised our 96-year-old Pearl Harbor survivor would get that last word. So, Russ, one more question for you.
Someone came up to you, and they don't know anything about Pearl Harbor. They don't know why it should matter, why it's even worth recognizing or having this big observance that they're going to have on Oahu that day. Why would you tell them that it does matter? What would you tell them that they need to remember about it?
You got to remember, we could go through that again if they're not prepared for it. We got to be prepared.
So let's remember that, shall we? On December 7th and every other day on the calendar, go to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page if you want to see how youthful Mr. Russell looks at age 96. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.